Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for April 22nd in the year of our Lord, 2024. This is our one of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country, and to do so on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the supreme law of the land and the founding fathers. That is our peaceful solution right now, ladies and gentlemen. We, the people, via our greater numbers, must indeed get involved. Dr. Scott Bradley's with me, freedomsrisingsun.com. Welcome, sir.
Well, thank you very much. A good beginning of a week to everyone, and a bright, sunshiny morning. At least it is in my neck of the woods.
Yeah, it's beautiful everywhere. Spring is springing, that's for sure. We had our event, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, training and press conference in Las Vegas last week on Wednesday. I know we didn't really talk about it much on Friday, really. I'm waiting for all the videos to come out and be available and everything else, but the point is that the mainstream press is writing literally bizarre articles about us.
You've been dishonest in the press.
They're dishonest and completely just, they're unhinged. They say we're bizarre. They try to make a joke, like, you know how you say, so-and-so and so-and-so walked into a bar, and, you know, that's how the joke starts, where they say, so-and-so and so-and-so and so walked into the CSPOA event. So they try to just make jokes and all that kind of stuff. But there's things that they're leaving out that I think are really important to note, Dr. Bradley. And I'm going to start mainly with my speech because I would say I'm the most familiar with my own work. But, you know, I basically, and I don't know if people know this, but I threw down a $1,000 gauntlet to the mainstream press. So I basically highlighted that I have not been guilty of any violence at all in my adult life whatsoever. Not even alleged, not even, you know, in the courts, not even filed, not, you know, no restraining order, zero violence whatsoever for me. Same for Sheriff Richard Mack. In fact, Richard Mack, you know, worked for 20 years in government, in law enforcement, and basically he says one of his claims to fame is he never even really had to beat up anybody, much less shoot anybody or anything else. And, you know, for a 20-year vet plus being a sheriff, that's something to speak of. The conference started out with a hippie by the name of Zach Carter. And Zach Carter introduced Sheriff Richard Mack and said, hey, I was one of the world first guys, or earth first guys. And I was a hippie, and we basically would spike trees and cause all kind of trouble, you know, destroy property, do all these kind of different things. And when we got to Sheriff Mack's county, Graham County, Arizona, back in the day, in the early 90s, he said, you know, I thought that the sheriff was just going to beat us up, and we were just ready for this showdown fight. But the sheriff was so kind, so respectful, met with all of us. We talked to him. We were shocked. Sheriff Mack literally took us up to see the top of the mountain where this issue was. And a girl sprained her ankle, and Sheriff Mack carried the girl back. She was this hippie. And then to try to ease tensions between the two, Sheriff Mack challenged the hippies to a basketball game, and they actually played a game. But then Richard Mack said, you guys all have to take a shower after the game. So now Sheriff Mack and this Zach Carter hippie isn't such a hippie anymore. I mean, he's a little bit of a hippie because his parents are hippies, and but he doesn't believe in destroying private property anymore. And he literally made friends with Richard Mack, and he was the one that introduced Sheriff Mack, saying that, hey, all law enforcement was planning to take that thing violent, and Richard Mack single-handedly prevented the violence. So Sheriff Mack worked for 20 years in the proper role of government. When there was a problem because Bill Clinton was out of control, Sheriff Mack used our First Amendment, the right for a redress of grievance, to go all the way to the Supreme Court and beat Sheriff Mack. Or, I'm sorry, beat Bill Clinton. Sheriff Mack won. But they literally say how anti-government we are. And I'm thinking Sheriff Mack worked for the government literally for 20 years. And when he had a redress of grievance, instead of going violent or anything else, he went to the Supreme Court. And when it was these hippies and there was a showdown, the cops were ready to crack heads. Richard Mack said, no, there's a better way, and literally pioneered and showed the way of de-escalation and peace. Let's play a basketball game to, you know, let us get a little bit of adrenaline. Let's talk about this. Let's sit down. These hippies walked away with tremendous respect for the good sheriff, and peace was had, contrary to all expectations. I bring that up then and say I have no track of violence whatsoever, neither does Sheriff Mack in any way, but they say that we're dangerous for the country. They say that we're anti-government. Both are complete, absolute lies. And so I threw down, I said, I offer anybody in the media $1,000, and I'll turn over my microphone to them, meaning I'll give them time at the pulpit or time on my radio and TV shows or whatever you want to say, to explain if they find any violence by me or Mack. And there is none. And so I threw down the $1,000 gauntlet, and you could say, well, that's not much money, Sam. Well, I'm just a poor guy. $1,000 to me is like, you know, $1 million to say, or, you know, whatever, $50 million to Donald Trump or something. I mean, it's, you know, I don't have a lot of money. But I threw down the gauntlet. Nobody seems to be taking me up on it. They just seem to continue to repeat the lie that, oh, a conspiracy theorist, an election denier, and anti-government people are meeting for a conference and how bizarre it was. And they go on and on and on with all this stuff. But I literally highlighted the abuse that we're taking and how wrong it is in my speech. And I just find it interesting, Dr. Bradley. What do you think of all this? It's just bizarre.
Well, you know, Joseph Goebbels, the Nazi propaganda minister for Hitler, back in the 30s and 40s, basically coined a term, and this isn't an exact German translation, but basically if you tell a lie big enough and long enough, it becomes truth. And that's exactly where we are today with the bought and paid for lame brain media that drives everything they do based upon a political agenda. And it's interesting that their moguls control basically the organs of communication. I mean, First Amendment, you say, oh, we got First Amendment rights. Well, you know, every newspaper, if you read, the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, the Washington Post, the L.A. Times, Deseret News in Salt Lake, and the Tribune in Salt Lake, if you read them, you're reading the same, with slight nuances, information. It's because they basically have got this blanket control over everything. And so if people say, well, I heard it from six different newspapers or whatever, it's kind of like, really? Well, do you know that they all have the same source? I'll tell you one thing. Back in, it was April, it was, oh, it was 20 years ago. It was April of 2004. I testified before the United States Senate Judiciary Committee against the reauthorization of the USA Patriot Act. And, of course, you have an interest to see how, like you just did, you talk about how, you know, everybody's basically slandering you. And I thought, well, I want to see what they're saying about what happened. I had a very acrimonious exchange with Senator Orrin Hatch, who was the chair of the Judiciary Committee. In fact, I thought at one moment he was going to basically accuse me of contempt of the Senate, and I was going to agree, and so on and so forth. But anyway, I looked coast to coast to see what was written about those exchanges that we had. And it was almost like the same guy wrote it. Well, wait a minute. The same guy did probably write him. And every single news line picked up that guy's. I mean, it was kind of, you know, it was kind of like if it bleeds, it leads. That was the kind of thing. You know, normally things are pretty, kind of just not really newsworthy when they're exchanges of things in a committee. But somebody picked up on it, and it got published from New York to California. I read articles about what had happened. So they all do the same thing. It's incestuous. And so, yeah, I think that what happens is they're telling big lies, and sooner or later they become, how shall we say, truth, as Gorbachev said.
Yes, indeed. So the headline from, let's see, what is this? NBC News. Here's what they wrote about us. Here's their headline. A sheriff, a felon, and a conspiracy theorist walk into a hotel. They're there for the same conference. Well, what I would say to that would be this. So did the reporter walk into the same conference. So what it really should say is this. An NBC reporter, a sheriff, a felon, and a conspiracy theorist walk into a hotel. They're there for the same conference. Isn't that more accurate? I mean, I don't believe in all the, you know, tar baby words they're putting on all of us. But the fact is that they're lying to you. They say the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association is urging lawmen to form posses. right? As if that's a bad thing. Then they say form posses, seize voting machines, and investigate, quote, baseless claims of voter fraud. Now, my response is this. We never said to take voting machines. We never said to investigate baseless claims. Again, this is where the dishonesty comes in. I want to finish and talk about that. We got a lot of news. Hang tight.
Yeah.
Liberty Roundtable Live.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Anyway, I find it fascinating because they're telling half-truths. For example, there was a felon there. Mike Lindell was there. And I agree that he made mistakes in his early life. He freely admits to that. But see, this is where they're holding this against him forever. You can never live that down, according to these people. Now, they say a sheriff. Well, that's kind of true. There was more than one sheriff there. There were several sheriffs there. There were a couple of sheriffs spoke. There were several former sheriffs there as well. A felon and a conspiracy theorist. See, that's how they play the game here. You know, they throw a felon in and just, you know, they don't say, the businessman who runs my pillow or anything like that. He's just a felon. That's all he is. You boil him down to one single word. Then you mix a sheriff in and then you say a conspiracy theorist. See, that could be anybody who doesn't agree with their narrative. And so they have these wordsmith, dishonest headlines. And then they say that we want to seize voting machines without any evidence of election fraud. And my response is they lied again, Dr. Bradley. Darleaf, current sitting sheriff in Michigan, Berry County, Michigan, highlighted the investigation that he's done. He has hard evidence. But they've arrested his attorney because they're so afraid of the truth on this thing. We had a guy by the name of Tom Hamner speak. And they say who served time in prison for interfering with law enforcement on January the 6th. They have a headline where he's praying with his wife. But anyway, they go on. And I just look at this and I just go, they're completely dishonest, though. A lot of those January 6th cases where the government went too hard, now the government's being challenged for their abuse of a lot of these prisoners. Many of them will be overturned. Anyway, say the conference opened a little behind schedule. not exactly right. I was on the stage. The show was supposed to, or the event was supposed to start at 9. My show ended at 9. And yes, it took a little, a couple of minutes for me to get off the stage. But that's no different than any transition of any different speakers that have to set up a slideshow or make any stage changes along the way. They make it sound like we're just derelict and starting all late. That's completely dishonest and false. I started my show at 7 o'clock. I was on stage perfectly on time. And yes, there was a transition between my talk show that was on stage and the conference. So that did take a minute. But to suggest that we started late isn't really honorable or true. Then they say the Pledge of Allegiance was delayed when organizers couldn't find a flag. That's all true. But again, this just makes it sound like a buffoon show. Why didn't we have a flag? Because we literally have four people creating and running this whole conference. Think about a big event with dozens of speakers, with hundreds of people in attendance at a hotel with slideshows and presentations and all the complications of food and everything. Okay, you got Sheriff Mack and his wife. You got myself and then my assistant, Zach, and we're the ones that ran the whole conference. There's only four of us. And so, anyway, the bottom line is they're just playing games here. They go on and on. They just absolutely don't mention any of the truth. So, for example, I told them, you guys claim without evidence that me and Sheriff Mack are violent. I've offered $1,000 for that to change. They say I sat with a small group of reporters at a table marked reserved. And then they say we all talked about, in Trump style, the fake media. Well, just so the mainstream press knows, I've been telling you about the fake news even before Donald Trump walked down the escalator. While Donald Trump was, you know, doing cameos in movies with his favorite insiders, I was calling the media a bunch of scoundrels. And I have done presentations called "He Who Owns the Media Makes the Rules." And the new media takes center stage. I've been doing that for, you know, literally years before Donald Trump ever got on it. So let's not try to credit my assertion that it's fake news, that it's dishonesty and the clown show. I'm the one that highlighted that Rush Limbaugh was a water boy, literally in the 90s, okay? Anyway, they say we, along with other people, were given free entrance. Other people were charged $49, which included breakfast, a box lunch, and a pizza party, which is true. Anyway, they say we had all kinds of advertisers that, you know, promoters that didn't really relate to the topics at hand. That's not really true. Several organizations that are patriot-minded attended, had some booths and stuff like that. But they're just absolutely dishonest in what really happened and who's who, Dr. Bradley. I don't know that you can just use that Mike Lindell is a felon or whatever. Or this other guy that went to jail, they say, for 2 years over January the 6th. I'm not buying what they're saying. They're just dishonestly carrying the ball. And you could say, well, factually, Sam, that person is a felon. I get it. But at what point, if somebody makes mistakes in their younger life and then they, change and they're different and they own businesses and they're successful, and do you just call them a felon forever? Is that just, no matter what, you can never live that down? And that seems to be the way it is with these people. However, among their own, it doesn't fly. Right? Among their own, that's not how they treat it. I just find the whole thing very dishonest. And I talked to this reporter that wrote this whole article, and I explained a lot of things to her. And none of it made her press. None of it. Do you want to respond to this, doctor?
Sure. Why not? I mean, you know, I always got something to say. First of all their words are biased and agenda-driven. If you lean into something with a way that's going to have a kind of an assumed outcome, you have already set the direction of whatever you're setting up. So the entire article, I've looked at the article. You need to go look at this woman that wrote it. I mean,
I talked to her. I know.
I know. But she has as her byline on whatever, what her area of expertise is. This was an agenda-driven. Mentality when she was given the assignment or took the assignment. I don't know what. But I don't want my next statement to be over interpreted, let's put it that way, because certainly nobody at your conference or currently in the world can even qualify on the same standing that I'm going to kind of put this on. But if you really wanted to be completely honest, Jesus Christ was a convicted felon, worthy of death, according to two courts. Okay, so they went to the Jewish hierarchy, and they decided it was under the Jewish law okay to put this guy to death. Not just okay, it was demanded, it was required. And so they took them to they wanted the Romans to put him to death, so they didn't, because, you know, it would be hard to kind of really blame Rome and get away scot-free, because the Romans were the highest law of the land, and so they wanted to make certain that they couldn't be accused of this thing by their own people even. And so, because Jesus Christ did have a lot of followers even at that point. But so they took it to that higher court, Pilate, the big guy in the land, you know, and he had a hard time coming to the conclusion that he was a guilty guy too, but he folded. He went with the bias of the day and the outcry of the people, the sins be upon us and our children, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And he washed his hands of it and all that. But Jesus Christ was a convicted felon. And we are devotees of a convicted felon, if the truth be known.
Right. And so then they say Richard Mack founded the CSPOA to try to deal with, sheriffs. And then they say this. Again, this is where they word slaughter us, scare words or whatever. They say where the sheriffs operate independently and with little to no oversight, accountable only to the voters. And they must act as a check on federal power. Well, I agree with that it is a check on federal power. But this idea that the sheriffs have little to no oversight, that's completely false. There's check and balances between the county and the state, check and balances between the county and the federal government, check and balances at the three branches of the local government, meaning, there's a legislative branch, the county commission, there's the executive branch, the sheriff, then there's the district attorney, which is the judicial branch and stuff like that. There's plenty of checks and balances in the system, not just the voters. The voters is one great check, I agree. But see, they boil it down and they leave pertinent factual details out of the discussions.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Okay, if there's no checks and balances, does the sheriff legislate? Do they create law? No, they don't. Do they adjudicate the law? No, they don't. They execute the law. They carry it out, if you will. Some laws ought to be executed, probably, and people will say I overstate that. But the point of the matter is that these checks and balances are well established, well defined, and well understood within our government. Apparently, a lot of authors don't understand that. A lot of journalists, and of course, they're so biased they wouldn't do such a thing. But no, there's definitely some correction that needs to be put onto some of these things. The sheriff does not legislate or adjudicate. They carry out the law. They're of kind of president of the United States. His job is to carry out the law that the Congress passes.
And by the way, let's be very clear. At the county level, the Supreme Court calls it the CLEO. That's the Chief Law Enforcement Officer of his own jurisdiction. I don't see how it's any different. We're not taking a page out of any dishonesty. That's what the court said, Doctor.
No question. Well, see, like I say, a lot of people, they're either ignorant, deceived, or deceivers. Now, you can put your journalist in whatever category you assume that fits, but honest journalism requires some honesty in not only the way they report, but they also have a baseline of understanding. And a totally ignorant or deceived or deceiver, I don't know what, again, you want to put it in, but a journalist in that mode can run rogue and run amok. It's a big problem.
Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen, a little more on this. I just thought I'd cover kind of the article and at least put out the truth. We're going to be pushing back pretty hard with some press releases and a whole lot more showing the record. We're going to put their comments by video to prove our side of the story as time unfolds. Hang tight, Liberty Roundtable Live.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Tim Berg. Gas prices are continuing to rise, going up again over the last few weeks. oil industry analyst Trilby Lundberg on just how much we can expect the price at the pump to increase.
The gasoline pump price run-up did continue. We have another 10 cents more in the price. The new price is $3.77 for regular. And it's been rising for 15 weeks now. It's up 59 cents since early January.
Lundberg says the unrest in the Middle East and Ukrainian targeting of Russian oil infrastructure is helping to aid in the instability of the crude oil market. Tennessee police are continuing to investigate after at least two people are dead and six others are injured after a shooting at a Memphis block party. Police saying hundreds were gathered at the party at Orange Mountain Park on Saturday when officers responded to emergency calls and found two men dead at the scene. Police are continuing to look for the suspects. Some House Republicans are extremely angry with Speaker Johnson, who works with Democrats and does not include money for U.S. border security in the $95 billion aid package. USA's Laura Winters reports.
Now, some Republicans in the House furious with Johnson for working with Democrats to get this all passed. Here's Georgia Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, followed by Texas Congressman Chip Roy.
America last. America last. That's all this is. Every single day, America last.
Gentlewoman's time has expired.
I'm frustrated that there was zero border security in the bill. But let's be very clear. That border bill, H.R. 2, that was voted on today, will have no force of law, was not part of the package, was done as a cover vote, and gave cover to five Democrats who voted for it. It's mind-bogglingly stupid to have put that on the floor.
The bill now heads to the Senate, where preliminary voting could take place as soon as Tuesday. This is USA News.
The inventor and CEO of MyPillow is always looking for ways to solve everyday problems. Have you ever picked up a towel set because it felt really soft in the store, but then when you go to use it, it's not very absorbent? It's basically a towel that's leaving you out to dry. That's why MyPillow has developed the MyPillow towels. Towels that work. I know, it's mind-blowing. Towels that actually dry you. The six-piece towel set includes two bath towels, two hand towels, and two washcloths. They come in a variety of colors, and right now you can receive a six-piece set for only $39.98 with promo code USA. Go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the radio listener special. MyPillow products come with a 10-year warranty and they have a 60-day money-back guarantee. To receive this amazing offer on the six-piece set of MyPillow towels, just go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special, and enter promo code USA or call 800-951-8175. That's MyPillow.com, promo code USA.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an Immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody ever having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
All right, back with you live, Dr. Scott Radley and Sam Bushman on your radio. We're talking about the clown pieces written about our event last Wednesday. It's just absolutely dishonest. They say we're urging to form posses. Well, that's all true. The reason that's dishonest is because they write about Bob Songer, an active sheriff who runs a posse in his county. 150 members to his posse, by the way. And he's written a manual to help sheriffs across the country form posses. And he talked about the posses very appropriately. But then they write in their article that, hey, he's got a 150-member militia posse all armed to the teeth. That's an absolute, complete, bald-faced lie. He talked about how they have all kinds of people for search and rescue who keep the peace. Many of them are not armed. Some of them are armed if they pass the appropriate, you know, safety courses and different requirements that Bob Songer has. But most of them aren't armed. But he talked about how they worked, you know, at fair, you know, county fairs and at rodeos and at all these different events to keep the peace. And he basically talked about how he had six pilots among his group and he can get a plane up for search and rescue within minutes at no cost to the county. And he explained that these, posses are full of, for example, they have a youth posse program where the youth can learn about law enforcement and learn about search and rescue. And it's basically a magnified neighborhood watch program. There are a few people are armed that are former military or you know, otherwise that have been in different jobs, former police and that kind of stuff, who are armed and can help out because they've got a huge county with a lot of miles to cover. And it's only him and his deputy, for the most part, taking care of business. So they rely on the posse a lot. And he explained all this, but they leave and just say, oh, he has a 150-man militia ready to just arm to the teeth to kill everybody. It couldn't be further from the truth. We have video to prove what I'm saying from Bob Songer on this issue and stuff. It's just amazing the dishonesty they kind of peddle. They speak of me, for example, and talk about, you know, all these. It's just amazing. They say, oh, Sam Bushman runs a radio network where white supremacists have shows. Well, there's a couple of people that I have and that I advocate for their white race, their white advocates. But I mentioned to the reporter, we've got probably 10 times the programming where it's black hosts, Dr. Bradley. They've got way more time than the supposed white advocates have. So I have all kinds of people on the radio, all stripes of different viewpoints and opinions, men and women and black and white and everything else. They don't give any reality check on that. They just paint this narrative that they're going to go to town with. But I literally, this reporter that wrote this, I explained to her, I've got way more time to black hosts than I do these people that advocate for the white race. They don't advocate for the white race in hatred of anybody else. They just say we're white and our heritage is white and we're going to advocate for our own people. Well, everybody should advocate for their heritage, in my opinion. One statement I made from the stage is, and I made this point to the reporter as well, I believe we're all God's children. When are we going to start to act like it? When are we going to be kind and respectful and appreciative of one another despite differences of agreement? When can we agree to disagree agreeably? And I really made that point. To no avail, doctor. They didn't care one bit about any of those statements at all.
Well, I got to say, Sam, that what did you expect? I mean, no, just stop. Just for a second. I don't need a response. It's NBC. I mean, you know the old parable or story or whatever you want to call it about the kid that picked up the rattlesnake up in the cold into their mountain, and the rattlesnake wanted him to carry him down, and they said, no, you're a snake. You'll bite me. And the snake said, no, I promise. And so the kid carries the snake down, and as he got him down to the warmer weather where snakes can still operate, and the snake bit him, and they said, hey, you bit me. And the snake says, what did you think? You knew what I was when you picked me up. So you're dealing with
yes,
NBC.
Yes, and I agree with that 100%, and I agree with that principle. And, you know, maybe we were bitten by the snake, but I would say this. It was our attempt to show the world once and for all the truth. So this time we have it all recorded. And so when they basically say, oh, you know, Sam Bushman, this or that, and I can highlight what I said. I'm offering $1,000. If they claim we're violent, I'm offering $1,000 to any journalist that can point to any violence from me or Mac.
Well, I know the problem is you're honorable and they're not. And I know you've got to try to do outreach. But I'm just, they lean into their biases. They spin it in their own little web and all that kind of stuff. That is just the nature of the beast. And you know, that's kind of what I found is almost universal in this lame brain mainstream, if you will, media clown act that we're involved with. And there's got to be an effort to try and present your material. And I really do. I understand that you wanted to see, let somebody else see, maybe even a wider audience see. I mean, if USA Today had come in and reported honestly and honorably what you had there, or CBS or MSNBC or you know, any of the big
AP, any of them, sure,
CNN, whatever. If that had happened, I mean, it would have been wow. This was a breakthrough, but it's not going to happen.
And we could have given them some credit. We could have been kind to one another and say, hey, I get it if they don't agree with everything we say. That's okay. But, for example, they claim that we want to just seize voting machines. That's not true. If there's fraud alleged, then maybe we do need to seize the voting machines. But they said we're encouraging to investigate basic claims of voter fraud. We never said to investigate baseless claims of voter fraud. That's a lie. We said that if there's any crime in a given sheriff's jurisdiction, that the sheriff must investigate those crimes.
Yeah.
And if it's not true, then I want the mainstream press to give me a list of what crimes the sheriff is not supposed to investigate, because those are the ones that, you know, any criminal can take to the bank, because they know there would be no prosecution or no attempt to create accountability for those things. But we never said to investigate unsubstantiated claims of vote fraud. We never said that at all. And this is kind of what I mean by their dishonesty. And we knew they would do this, but we've got the record straight and we've got it on video. Again, I'm going to offer them $1,000, the mainstream press, to tell me when did we say investigate voter fraud without any evidence or without any. We've never, ever said that. We said if there's probable cause, if there's evidence brought to you, then sheriffs, we encourage you to investigate. Okay, but the sheriff can come back if there's nothing to it and come back and say there's nothing here. In fact, there's a few good counties in the country where sheriffs have done that. And so all I'm saying is that it's just absolutely dishonest wordsmith. Here's the problem. You can't sue them. There's nothing you can do. We don't have the kind of money to sue these people.
Well, Sam, look, if people go to the end of the article and they look at who reported it, Randy Zadrozny, I guess, I don't know.
Yeah,
Zadrozny, a senior reporter for NBC News. She covers, listen to this, self-identified misinformation, extremism, and the internet. Okay, so this is the bias she came with, and that's the bias from which she reported. Now what I see as a big challenge is that these people believe that if anybody pushes back from what they believe the agenda ought to be, suddenly they're an obstructionist or maybe dishonest or maybe even violent. But the fact of the matter is, pushback is what our government is built upon. Let me just read you two quick little statements. A 47th Federalist paper, Madison wrote, "The accumulation of all powers, legislative, executive, and judiciary in the same hands, whether of one, a few, or many, and whether hereditary, self-appointed, or elective, may justly be pronounced the very definition of tyranny." We have pushback. There's a division of power. Let me go on with the 51st Federalist paper by, again, Madison. He said, "But the great security against a gradual concentration of the several powers in the same department consists in giving to those who administer each department the necessary constitutional means and personal motives to resist encroachments of the others. The provision for defense must, in this as in all other cases, be made commensurate with the danger of attack. Ambition must be made to counteract ambition. The interest of the man must be connected with the constitutional rights of the place." Okay, so here, if we have an overreaching executive, let's just take the President of the United States, maybe, I don't know, and let's just say the President starts creating law. No, the President's that's not a creative power in the executive branch. The legislative must push back. And the idea that the people run things, because that's the way they're elected in the House, has to be pushed back by the states, who used to run things in the Senate, kind of, you know.
And when the pro-prop role of government, Sheriff Mack, decided to push back against Bill Clinton, Bill Clinton was breaking the law, and the sheriff won. Bill Clinton threatened to arrest the sheriff to no avail as well. So this is where they're not willing to even set the record straight on basic published reality check facts. They're willing to ignore for their, you know what, shoot the messenger narrative, if you will.
Well, this NBC reporter came in with an absolute, I mean, it's a self-identified bias, misinformation. Woo-woo! We're going to find it here, baby.
If we do the who, what, when, where, why of a story, go ahead and skip the break. If we do a who, what, when, where, why of the story, just the facts and stuff like that, you know, we would have a completely different outcome on the way she wrote it. Now, she would say, well, wait a minute, Sam, there is a sheriff there. Okay, that's factual. There's a felon. Okay, that's all true. And a conspiracy theorist walk in. Okay, some people believe in conspiracy theories. But what could we say about the news people that walked in? You know, these people have literally taken government from, these are the people that promoted this lie about Donald Trump, saying that he was tied up in the Russian scandal. Government agencies backed that lie, knowing that it was a lie. And then we have, they buried information about, you know, Hunter and Joe, literally knowing full well that the story was true, but lying and saying that it wasn't true, and we are conspiracy theorists for claiming otherwise. Now all the truth has come out on this. These are the people that lied and claimed all that now. And this reporter is going to be the one to deal with misinformation? How does that work?
Yeah, I mean, like I say, self-identified as the one that, I mean, I'm sorry to say this, San, but I'll bet I could have written this article without even having been there had I known the spin they wanted to put on it. And I do
well,
know the spin.
Well, and to prove your point, when we had our press conference, most of the press left before our press conference, so they couldn't even ask any questions. And what I think they wanted to do was run around the press conference, ask us all questions, not really on tape, and then report, and then they could claim, well, that's what, you know, we talked about, or whatever, but there's no evidence where we could ask, you know, where they could ask questions and get answers in front of our recording cameras, theirs as well. We didn't care. We gave them permission to record and whatever they wanted. But they didn't ask any questions there. So they intentionally came, pinned different people in the crowd down. So they finished their article with some guy that came to see what it was about and wished it was a lot more on law enforcement. And, you know, they talked to this person and that person, but they've isolated all these different things. You know, they kind of mocked General Flynn for coming in, and then there wasn't as much security as he wanted, and so he bailed to a secure location, and they kind of mock him for that. And I just look at this thing, and I think everything they're doing is just the worst spin they could possibly put on everything. And, the reality check is, I don't want you guys to think that I'm just complaining about this, and I thought it was going to be a fair, deal, and it wasn't. No, I'm not naive. I knew they would do this. But I wanted to give them the opportunity to do what's right. I wanted to give them the opportunity to ask questions in front of the cameras. They failed on both. And now whenever any of these reporters call me, I'm just going to tell them, look, you had a chance to literally come to a press conference and ask me on stage in front of everybody any question you wanted, and you failed to do so. I don't have any answers for you of any kind anymore.
Well, see, Sam, here's the deal. It's just like, let me just show you how easily this can be done. A little earlier in the show, I made a statement that Jesus Christ is a convicted felon. Holy cow! You take that out of context, and you just take that, the whole dialogue that was happening during that particular segment is completely, the reader here doesn't have any clue how we were trying to make the point that you know what, you can really look anything and anybody look bad. But just to take that one little thing completely out of context, put quotes around it, you know, did I say it? Sure, I said it. But the fact of the matter is that it was to prove a point about what we were discussing, okay? I am not convicting. I am not accusing. I am not denigrating the Savior in any way, shape, or form. But that spin can be put on it with a non-contextual statement. So if they run around the program, they're shoving a mic in front of somebody's face, and they say something that they get one little tiny snippet of something out of there that they can take out of context. Suddenly that person looks like Bubba, and his beer-swilling buddies are there with all of their ARs slung over their shoulders waiting to go out and start an insurrection. It doesn't happen that way. I mean, it does happen that way, but that isn't the context that you were in. And so it's easily done. It's so easily done by dishonest and dishonorable individuals that have an agenda, and they lean into that with biased words. And honestly, I say unto you, duh, what were you expecting? And I'm sorry, I don't want to make you feel bad.
No, I was expecting this to happen, but I had hoped there'd be an olive branch where there might at least be some decent questions asked on stage to us in front of everyone, where we could clarify a few things to try to set the record straight. They might give us a little bit of credit, even though they would pitch it dishonestly. They might get a few facts right. But I don't believe there's a certain... I don't believe there's any point we made or any fact we laid out that they even literally put in their article. So, for example, I offered $1,000 to the media saying you claim that Mac and Sam are dangerous and that their organization is violent. And I threw down a $1,000 gauntlet to say that's not true, and I want you to show me any violence. If you do, I'll give you $1,000. Well, they don't even write that. To me, that's newsworthy because either there is or there isn't. Either they're saying it with or without evidence. And I put $1,000 to say, if you can find acts of violence by me or Mac, then I'll be glad to give you $1,000. They could at least even write that. They could at least even admit to that, but they can't. They just want to say, Sam's calling for militias. I never called for a militia once. Okay? I do call for posses because Bob Songer has a 150-member posse that literally saves his taxpayers millions of dollars and provides a safe, secure environment for all kinds of venues and events and goes on search and rescue and acts as a great neighborhood watch program and teaches the youth about community policing. And it's a very, very peaceful posse that he's got going on. But yet I find it fascinating that they basically take it to where, hey, you know, it's the enemy of the people. It isn't true. And so anyway, I rest on this that, hey, we laid out the facts and y'all are going to see multiple videos highlighting. Everybody will be able to see my speech. About 15 minutes long, I pointed to 12 years ago and I highlighted the Southern Poverty Law Center was claiming I was a bad guy then. Now they've reported me to Congress twice without evidence of any kind, Sheriff or Doctor.
Well, I'll just, you know, you're talking about militias here for a moment. Okay. A well-regulated militia, okay? What the heck is that?
Well, a well-regulated means it's got coordination to the government, not just randomly raised.
It's well-trained, okay? That's what it means. And George Mason, principal author of the Second Amendment, along with James Madison, he wrote, I ask, sir, what is the militia? It is the whole people, except for a few public officials. Okay, so the militia is embedded in the entire United States. Okay, and then you stop and think about it. In Utah, our Utah Constitution, it was implemented in 1896. They have a clause that is absolutely been ignored for the last 130 plus years, that the Utah government has to support a militia. They have to provide arms and funding and everything else like that. Utah has ignored that the entire length of the history of the state of Utah. So this idea, oh, militia, oh, it's scary, oh, we're all going to die. No, it's not. This is a well-established, well-understood, previously anyway, understood component of how this nation is to be operated. And as Mason said, I mean, it's the whole people. And if the whole people aren't armed and prepared for any exigency that might come down the path, we're in trouble, and we're in trouble, my friend. And there are some sheriffs that are saying, well, let's take this responsibility and let's prepare the people to make certain that things are good. I'll give you a little example. I know we're running out of time, but here's many, many years ago, I worked up in Montana in a little community, and there was a lot of, you mentioned hippies earlier going on, And a riot started in this little community. I mean, they had a one-room jail. That's what they had. I mean, it was kind of a cardboard box with bars on it. I mean, come on. Anyway, there were a lot of people running amok. And the men in the community, they says, we're going to go stop this. And they did. And they didn't have enough place to put the guys that were causing all the disruption. And so they tied them to trees. They tied their arms around trees. And so they had to be a tree hugger, literally. And I mean, it was a response to a violent outbreak, okay? And they left them standing or sitting or holding onto that tree overnight while they hugged their trees And in the morning, they went by and they let them loose, and everybody quietly left town. But see, what happens when things run amok? And what happens if your sheriff friend in his county, and it's him and a deputy, I don't know how many people he's really got, but if it's him and a deputy, and something really went upside down and backwards, do they have people that could help respond to that? Should they have people?
Yes, they do, and that's why they have that posse for that very reason.
Absolutely.
Because they cannot afford more, but yet they need more, and that's the whole point of the Founding Fathers. Anyway, at the end of the day, though, I leave with this comment on this topic. Sheriff Mack and Sam Bushman challenge any member of the clown media to an open and public debate, Sheriff or Doctor.
Well,
we challenge them to an open and public debate about any of these topics. They cannot stand the scrutiny, and they know it.
I'm predicting a no-show right now, and you just barely introduced the topic to me. I mean, that's just the way it is. You come in, you throw mud around, and you know, and all sorts of disparaging remarks, and you walk out, and there is no answerability. There's nobody says, "Hey, wait, something you just said. I want to take that word and that phrase and that statement and let's dissect that a little bit and see where it goes." And there's just going to be a no-show. But hey, it's worth a try. You can show their dishonorable dishonesty and everything else like that. So
yeah. So for example, I want to debate posses. You know, Bob Sunger did not get up and say, "I got a bunch of people armed to the teeth and I'm ready to go to war with anybody." He didn't say anything like that. He got up and said, "Listen, I have a posse. It's great because it helps our county save a ton of money. They're all volunteers, and they have all kinds of skill sets to come to the table to support the proper role of law enforcement, community policing. And this posse is wonderful, and I encourage, you know, sheriffs across the country to develop their own posses, to get people in search and rescue, to get people in forensics, to get people in, you know, to provide security, and some are armed, some are not, and to get people to..." And go on and on, and he literally highlighted this whole thing, and all they take out of it is sheriffs are advocating for militias to go crazy. You know, it isn't the truth. So I challenge them to these open debates, but they won't do it. You're right. They won't do it at all.
Sam, let me just also point something out. I know that we're time short, but things like when I read the article, it was an incorrect use of posse comitatus. And that we're not enough time to discuss that, but it's used completely erroneously in this article. And
yeah, because they claim it's tied to racism, and that's what our origins from it are, and that's a big lie.
No, posse comitatus is a restriction on the intervention of U.S. military in communities. Okay.
Yeah, so you can't use the military in domestic reality, right?
And it's like they took the word posse, and they kind of morphed it into something else that it's not. And really and truly, here's the posse comitatus was preached and popularized by white supremacist William Potter Gale. Okay.
And I don't even know who that guy is, by the way.
Okay. I have no idea either. The posse comitatus movement of the 1970s and 80s, Bravo Sierra people, go look that up. And look at what the law says about how it may or may not be used against the people. Okay, the way they're tying these things in back in the 1970s to something that, go back and read the law that was written back in the 1800s. I mean, come on.
Well, and that's
people.
What we referred to as the law from the 1800s. We have nothing to do with some clowns in the 70s who they accuse of being a racist, just like they accuse us of being a racist. I don't know these people, but I have my doubts that that's what their reference was either. But I don't know them, so I don't really care. But posse and posse comitatus are entirely two different things as well.
Absolutely. This is they refer you to a Southern Poverty Law Center, I think, article, but I don't know.
Dr. Bradley, we never got a chance to cover the topics I mentioned would cover, but thanks for your indulgence nevertheless, and all I can tell you is we shall stand on liberty. That's how it goes. Appreciate you, sir.
All right. You guys stay safe. I need all the friends I can get.
FreedomsRisingSun.com for his weekly webinars, his collegiate series, and more. LovingLiberty.net. God save the Republic.